let's move to the Word. Again, I share from chapter 2 of the Gospel of Matthew, verses 1 through 6. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, 'And thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel.'" And those that have an ear to hear, let us hear and consider the good news of Jesus Christ. On this morning, for our thoughtful consideration and holistic transformation, and as we continue to think up, word up, and obey up, the question that I believe that the Holy Spirit would have us to focus on this morning and the mornings to come is simply this: is there any bread in my house? Again, is there any bread in my house? Last week, I mentioned that the wise men no doubt had within their library, and their arsenal of books, if you will, and written literature. They had scriptures concerning this king of the Jews. And for all that they had, about the truth of his birth, they did not know exactly when he would be born or where he would be born. But thank God that they studied astronomy along with the scriptures that they had with them. And as mathematicians, if you will, they were gifted in rightly dividing the word of truth. The appearance of a unique star led them on their journey to find and worship the unmistakable Son of Righteousness. The star led them to the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness, described in the Old Testament. But the Son is also the S-O-N, because he is the Son of God. So the wise men, and again, we don't know how many there were. Could have been three, could have been more than three. But the wise men traveled from the east to the west and came to Jerusalem. And they met with Herod, saying, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and I come to worship him." Again, as we talked about last week, the political, social, and religious elite, they had missed the Savior's birth. But when asked about the birth of this king of the Jews, they knew where to look. They didn't consult with the root man or the root woman. They didn't go to the psychic. They didn't consult the tarot cards. They didn't even go to the so-called prophets of that day. They didn't pray about it. They didn't have to fast about it. They just went to the Holy Scriptures. We need to go there too. Often, more often than I think we do at times, but they went to the Holy Scriptures and they found the answer in the book of Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, wherein it was prophesied that the Savior, the King of the Hebrews, the King of glory, was to be born in Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. Is there any bread in my house? is there any bread in your house? Family, I struggle this week thinking about how often we who have the Holy Scriptures, very much like the political, social, and religious elite in Herod's day, we are right there, and we have the Holy Scriptures at our fingertips, but often we can be the most distant from the abiding truth, and we can be the most unlearned about Jesus Christ, who is the head of the living church. And as I contemplated where we are right now, 2 years later, after this pandemic was in a syndemic, the question came to me, what have we learned over the past 2 years as a living church? Have we individually, collectively, and corporately taken a time to exhale, step back, and analyze what has happened since the dawn of this pandemic, within the syndemic, for our good and for God's glory? What are the takeaways that we can learn from to improve our position and our advantage for our good and His glory? For some of us, and I say this again out of consideration and not condemnation, but for some of us, the only thing that we have learned is just how to complain more. We who are disciples of Christ, we should have learned in a time such as this to praise God even more. The Word says, in all things, give thanks, not for all things, but in all things, give thanks. We should praise God, even while we're in this pandemic, to change our perspective and to fasten ourselves, as the Bible reminded us this month, not on the pandemic, but on the Son of God. We have family for our comfort and guide, the Book of Wisdom, Proverbs, and in particular, chapter 4, verse 7. And it reminds us that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. If we, who sincerely claim to be the disciples of Jesus Christ, if we had been walking with deliberate and intentional wisdom and understanding, the underlying condition affecting so many of us and so many around us, that should not have been our issue. Underlying conditions should not be the issue for the people of God. But my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. All of us 2 years ago, and even more so now, should be in the business of taking care of our minds and our bodies according to the perfect will of God. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? I just want to ask you, start taking better care of your mind and your body, because your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And family, if we have come into the knowledge of knowing that our body is the temple, then the quality of our lives should not be diminished because we haven't opened the door to those things presenting themselves as underlying conditions. We should be removed from underlying conditions. And when I say that, when I use the phrase underlying conditions, I understand that phrase to mean, if you will, actually, it encompasses, for the most part, the unhealthy consequences of our choices. And it speaks directly to the outcomes of the weapons that we have formed against ourselves. We have actually formed some weapons against ourselves, and we have created some of these underlying conditions. And I'm talking about high blood pressure and type 2 diabetes and high cholesterol and anxiety and depression. Some of this we have actually brought it on ourselves. At least 2 years ago, and even longer than that, we knew, or we should have known. I'm just talking about the disciples of Christ. Hallelujah. We knew, or we should have known, that a constant, unhealthy diet of sugar and sodium and salt and everything else that we can generally label as soul food, oh, it was killing us. And it is killing us. We knew, or we should have studied, that certain foods and certain drinks were undermining the quality of our life and the type of life that God has intended for us to have as we walk in his perfect purpose and his perfect will. The enemy, the deceiver of the brothers and the sisters is in the spiritual diet as well as in the natural diet, and I think that we have too often conformed to a diet that the devil has designed, which has only come to kill, steal, and destroy. And I'm hoping this morning that the Lord will let us hear those that have an ear to hear. Let us hear. And I want to remind you that the bread of life, the true man from heaven, Jesus Christ. Oh, he has come that we may have life and life more abundantly. He has come to give us a more wholesome diet. Family, I wonder, have we learned that yes, wisdom is the principal thing in all our cities to get understanding. And I hope that we can put that into place and make sure that what we are also putting in our minds and our body reflects the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the understanding of God. We can't behind the old tired excuses of, I didn't know. Nobody told me. Or whatever we don't think we know or quite understand, we can just simply ask the Father to give us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding to promote our own self-care. Over this past week, as I reflected on the last 2 years and what have I learned, I come to learn for myself and in promoting my own self-care that no one is more responsible for taking better care of me than me. And you should know that, too, that nobody is more responsible to take better care of yourself than you. And we should be declaring over our own minds, bodies, and souls victory by just watching our diet and neither giving place to the devil on the menu. We need to resist the devil at the table. Resist the devil at the grocery store. Resist the devil in our diet. And the word says, and he shall flee from you. It's our own personal accountability and responsibility that the Lord will bring back into our memory. It's our responsibility to put the devil on the run by telling him no and the Lord yes. even in our spiritual and natural diet. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from you. Again, it's our responsibility. It's our job to drive the devil away from our homes and from our jobs and from our relationships. It's our job. As I was growing up, the saints would say, and neither give place to the devil. We need to remind ourselves of that. We don't need to give the place to the devil. Saints would sing a song. I don't hear it much anymore, but it was, don't let the devil rise. Because if you let him rise, then he's going to want to drive. So don't let him rise. Family, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him an occasion to gain any foothold in your business, in your home, in your family, in your career, in your ministry, in your finances. Don't let him rise. Drive him out. Drive him out. Paul would say this to the Philippian church. It's in the second chapter, verses 12 and 13. He said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Family, we ought to work out our own salvation. It's not the responsibility of the political leaders. It's not the responsibility of the church leaders. It's not the responsibility of those who are in government. It's not the responsibility of the schools and colleges and universities. It's my responsibility and your responsibility to have the satisfying and the fresh bread of Jesus Christ in our own house. And by doing so, to have the sustenance and power to work out our own salvation through this pandemic and sin demic. Family, I submit to you this morning that sin, hallelujah, sin is the underlying condition that the disciples of Jesus Christ, that we have to overcome, and we, as the disciples of Christ, we must do for ourselves. And we have to become intentional and deliberate in creating our own environment of joy and gladness. We need to stop making idols out of other folk. And we need to look to the author and the finisher of our faith so that we may know fully his unspeakable joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength, not money, not power, not the right to vote. Yeah, we need a lot of stuff. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. That's what we need to focus on. That's what we need to fasten our eyes on. It's the Lord. Okay. As we reflect on Paul's writing in chapter 2, verse 12, Philippians, it bears repeating. If you look at it, it doesn't say work out your own soul salvation. I used to hear that quite a bit when I was growing up. I heard it said, work out your own soul salvation. That's not what it says. It says, work out your own, O-W-N, your own salvation. That encompasses everything. Your mind, your body, and your soul. I hope you are hearing this with the family, that phrase there, their own salvation. It speaks to our comprehensive bodies and in our souls. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So again, the Holy Spirit is asking, is there fresh bread? Is there the bread of life in my house? Is there salvation in my house? As I look at the precious people of God, and I say this with humility, and again with the spirit of consideration and not condemnation, many of us have yet to embrace the reality that the Father has moved us beyond the doctrine of status quo. And what I mean by that is this, the Father has moved us, has transitioned us beyond business as usual, life as usual, church as usual. He's moved us. The winds have changed. The winds have changed. I read somewhere that in life, when you can't change the wind, you have to embrace changing yourself. And by doing so, move without struggle. Move without hesitation in the direction of God's perfect will. The winds, family, have changed. But as the winds have changed, remember that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And because he has given us freedom, by now we should have already changed our faith with a compass that draw even closer to Christ. The last 2 years to show us that the true church, the true body of Christ, the ecclesia, are those who are navigating the seas of life, the turbulent seas of life, but are doing so in the freedom of now space. In contrast to church folks, in contrast to so-called Christians, in contrast to those who have a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, the disciples of Christ. Oh, we are not inflexible. No. The disciples of Christ are fluid. They're moving with liberty, and they are free, and free indeed, and free to lay aside every weight and the sin that can so easily beset us. We're laying aside the weights of ancestral ways and traditions of men and doctrinal order that is outdated, so that we can walk boldly in the unwavering confidence of God's perfect will in this new season of life. The mundane and the burdensome traditions of men and the heavy yoke of unfruitful religious and self-righteous doctrinal order has created for us underlying conditions. Yes, it has. And they're not ripe, R.I.P. They're not ripe for the living and transformational change. I believe that the Holy Spirit is saying to us and reminding us again that wisdom is the principal thing, and that in all our getting, get understanding. Do we have any understanding about the weight and the sin that we need to just let go of on the road to recovery? If we're walking in understanding, we should be empowered to embrace this new season and shift even further into the direction of God. Now, we are not called to conform to the things of this world. We are not called called to conform to the things of this country. We are not called to conform to the things of church organizations that we have grown up into. The devil is a liar and a deceiver, but we are called. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But we are called to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And in that renewing, put off the old man, put off the old woman, put off the old things, put off the old ways of so-called having church. We need to stop having church and come to know that we are the church. We are the ecclesia. In the season of transition, transformation, and transfer, we are called with a renewed mind to share the good news with a dying world that there is a living Savior who is building a living church, a living ecclesia. Is there fresh bread in your house? Is there unleavened bread in your house? Not old stale bread, not puffed up bread, but is there any fresh unleavened bread in your house in this season? I believe that the Father has removed the veil that we might see that we have built our worship experience on bread that is puffed up. We've been feasting off of bread that has leaven in it for way too long. We have been partaking of the bread of religion and not the bread of relationship who we have in Christ Jesus. Too often the bread is puffed up with works and several righteousness and not grace. It's puffed up with pride and not humility. It's puffed up with entertainment and not true worship. It is puffed up with pastors praying. And let me spell that for y'all right now. P-R-E-Y-I-N-G. There are too many pastors who are praying. P-R-E-Y-I-N-G and not praying. P-R-A-Y-I-N-G. But in this seat, He is calling us to a diet of unleavened bread, the bread of Jesus Christ, who needs no other ingredients to declare that his wrath is finished and his righteousness is pure. The bread of Christ, the unleavened bread, moves us from religion to relationship to know that we are saved by Christ alone. Plus nothing else, plus no denomination. We're saved by Christ alone. We're saved by grace through faith and not a work. Lest any man should boast, lest any woman should boast. Because Jesus is the propitiation for our sins and the advocate of our souls who speaks life. And life more abundantly. He doesn't speak a life of underlying conditions. He doesn't speak a life of entertainment. And I'm trying to make you feel good on a Sunday morning. He's not speaking a church life or a religious life, but a life that we can walk in the newness of life. This new season of transition, transformation, and transfer has revealed a harsh, but absolute reality that many have been relying upon the bread in the church building, but have neglected having the bread prepared in their own house. Many have been looking for Jesus Christ, not in their own homes, but going, trying to find him inside of the four walls that we call the church. But the Holy Spirit is reminding us this morning about the bread of life, who can walk through walls and into our homes this morning. I'm here this morning. The true manna, the bread of heaven, Jesus Christ. Jesus said in chapter 6, verse 35 of John's gospel, he said, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. Family, if we want to be fully satisfied this morning, if we want to be fully fed and completely hydrated, we need to look no further than the Father's love as revealed unto us in this very hour through his Son, Jesus Christ. Brother Bobby was preaching on Wednesday night from Genesis, and in chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, we find that there was a curse rendered unto man. It actually began as the underlying conviction because he was partaking of the wrong diet. And the scripture said this, verse 17 through 19. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your bread. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your bread until you return to the ground. Since from it you were taken, for dust you are. And to dust you will return. In Genesis, the third chapter, family, we see the curse. But thank God, some 2,000 years ago, he, hallelujah, in the creation of a new man, in the creation of a new Adam, who we know is Jesus Christ, Jesus became a curse for us. He hung on a tree that we might have the tree of life, and he gave a new diet. Oh, taste and see. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he gave us a privilege that we might enjoy the blessing of the Most High God. Privilege to enjoy it in this life and in the life to come. As I bring this to a close, the prophet Isaiah, he saw it. He saw him as the bread. And he saw him as the bread that satisfies. And you know what? You don't even have to spend a dime. In chapter 55, verses 1 through 3, Isaiah says, "Oh, everyone that's there, come you to the wall, and they that have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which satisfies not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat you that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear, and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercy of David." Family, the Holy Spirit is reminding us that there can be fresh bread in the house. Our souls shall live and shall not die because we have tasted of the fresh and the pure, the unleavened bread of life. We can have an everlasting covenant with the Father, even the sure mercy of David. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. And we don't have to spend any money for it. We don't have to spend. stand in a $50 line and a $100 line and a $500 line, we don't have to worry about the cost. We don't have to consider the price due to rising inflation, because the master baker has already paid the cost. The master baker so loved the world that he gave his only begotten bread, that whosoever believes on him, eats on him, drinks of him, shall never perish, but shall have everlasting life. Jesus is the true bread of life, and they that come to him shall never hunger. They that believe on him shall never thirst. And then we find him closing it out, if you will, in Revelation. The beloved disciple John, who heard him say this, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to be with you and will dine with you and you with me. So, family, again, I submit, is there bread, fresh bread, unleavened bread in my house? Amen. Amen.